Well, another big new Apple event to introduce the new ultra-thin, super-long iPad Maxi. With wings. What do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Stephanie Lee. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, with Sarah Nix announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, Michael welcomes Pulitzer Prize-winning author Jane Smiley, plus all the news that isn't, and a teacher-friendly round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And now, the man who would like to thank his school buddy, Jay Bubrick, for sitting in for him in the Washington High Wall of Fame induction, it's Michael Feldman.
That's true. Thanks, Jay. I owe you, man. I was inducted, but I wasn't there to be inducted. So Jay graciously sat there with my picture in his lap and tried to look as much like me as possible. This is Milwaukee, Washington High School. Wall of Fame. Wall of Fame. Bud Selig's in it. And somebody else. And I'm in that, so very excited about that. Well, let's see. In all the news that isn't, in lieu of a raise, Apple offers to freeze the eggs of female employees. Been following this? Egg freezing is the latest perk. What a great perk. For a slight fee, actually, they'll hatch them through the through the App Store. Response has been mixed. Most women say, a fridge to keep their lunches would be nice rather than actually freezing their eggs. They won't give you a parking space, but they'll freeze your eggs. That's pretty cool. Some fear it's part of Steve Jobs' eugenics plan to create a race of Apollonian test tube babies using frozen eggs of employees. Of course, they will automatically upgrade with every product introduction. They'll have no choice. You can tell them with their retina eyes. You can see them around now, actually. We're still waiting to see where Hobby Lobby falls on the egg freezing thing, so. Meanwhile, gentlemen, I don't see Apple freezing our sperm anytime soon. In non-egg freezing news that isn't, Whole Foods rolls out good, better, and best rankings of its food. So that would be whole, wholer, and wholest. At these prices, they better all be best, is all I can say. I'm going to Half Foods if they're not. In the market, Dow Jones goes to Davy Jones. They're now calling it the Obama Jones Index. Because it's his fault, let's face it, everything else is. Ebola czar, there's an honor you can live without. How many guys turned it down before the guy took it, as I want to know. Of all the czarships you could get, used car czar, ladies wear czar, fantasy football czar, it's the least attractive, I think, Ebola czar. Good choice, though. If you can be Joe Biden's aide, you can easily be Ebola czar. Pretty much the same duties. Good news on the infinite eating front. Between Lifetime Starbucks and Endless Pasta, a guy could do pretty well for himself over the years. That's the latest thing there. Assuming they continue Obamacare, you'll be fine. Elections coming up. Polls show likely voters neck and neck with unlikely voters. We have, as you know, likely voters, pretty likely voters, and meant to voters. Three classes of voters. Our Republicans should control both the House and Senate and be just a president away from the seventh seal of the apocalypse. Huh? Was that dramatic? I thought it was unusually dramatic for me. Ancient kangaroos, it turns out, did not hop, but actually staggered like modern Australians. And here's something else in science I found interesting. Maybe you don't. But there's ice water on the planet Mercury. But you got to be really thirsty to try and get it, I'll tell you, because it's not going to be easy. Okay. You didn't think that was interesting. In economic matters, builders' confidence is down one floor in a mudroom. The good news looks like no polar vortex this winter. The bad news is the Weather Channel is still naming winter storms from Astro to Zealous, with Gorgon, Linus, Pandora, Remus, and Yuli in between. So the weather's not bad enough. You got to get winter storm Yuli coming at you. Remus. Winter storm Remus. Can't get any serious about these names. They have no right. The war on ISIS, if you can call it a war with only one side fighting, not least has the name Inherent Resolve is the name of the war, if there is one. Inherent Resolve. Rejected names include Indignant Retort, Insipid Resort, Intrinsic Remonstrance, Insolvent Residue, and Take That Sucker, which I personally favor. A little more direct. Ann Romney says, done, 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 done. She did not say with what or whom. More of a babble, really. So Paulie Ryan of Janesville, Wisconsin, come on down. Okay. That was for him anyway, so that's why you can ignore that. The True Value module docks with the International Space Station for plumbing repairs has to return to Earth for the wrong washer. This must not be on. I don't know. I mean, really, internally, I'm killing, right? I'm killing myself is what I'm doing. Here in Madison, top secret Air Force spacecraft buzzes Camp Randall's stadium during Badgers jump around. Or it may have been extraterrestrials out there. So, wondering what all the fuss was about. We're concerned for galactic reasons. The first Google Glassaholic is in rehab right now in a straitjacket, so he won't tap his right temple with his index finger constantly. Going to be a long road for him. A woman sues the fertility lab for getting the incorrect sperm. You know, I wish I had a nickel for every incorrect sperm. Do the math, billions of them over the years. That's billions of nickels that adds up after a while. Pope Francis says homosexuals should be allowed to be priests and nuns. Everyone continues to blame us, Jameis. Don't you read? Don't you people read? Do you read the sports section? Jameis. They blame us, Jameis. God, that would kill them in some places. FSU, that would kill them. New Google Express delivery service actually can send items to you in the past. The hard part is trying to remember what you really didn't need in 1974. Governor Walker says Wisconsin open for Ebola. Lots of jobs in Ebola. Walker also said the minimum wage serves no purpose and child labor needs to allow for jobs where it takes a little person to get in there. Well digging, volcanology, and so forth. Thank you so much. That's all the news. That is it. Don't think about it. It's the worst thing you can do is think about it. Oh, boy. Jane Smiley has a new book out. It's some luck. It's actually part one of a trilogy, which is three books if you didn't go to grad school. Some Luck, it's called, or Some Luck. Some Luck. There's various ways of looking at it. We'll find out which she does right now. She's on the line with us from California. And I'm pressing the button and nothing is happening on this phone here. So can you put Jane Smiley on, do you think, for me?
Hello.
Hi, Jane. I'm sorry. My button wasn't working. Not the first time.
Oh, okay. Either. Well, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Are you on a big book tour now for this thing already, or are you not?
I am on a big book tour. I'm home temporarily, but I'm leaving very soon to continue the big book tour.
Big book tour. We're talking many cities. Different continents involved?
Yes. Well, if you call the UK a continent, they call it a continent. But.
That's continental. I guess it's slightly different. So this is great. This is a trilogy now. This is quite an undertaking. Are they all written?
It's all written, except for the last little bits, which take place in 2016, 17, 18, and 19.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to wait for those to happen before you can finish
No,
it?
Absolutely not. I'm going to look in my crystal ball.
Yeah. So first we had a 1,000 acres, now we have 1,000 pages, basically.
Well, no, I'm sorry, but I couldn't hold it down like that, so it has to be more like 1,300.
This is about the same length as Clarissa, isn't it? I was looking up.
Yes, but it's about more than one seduction.
More than one seduction. There are multiple seductions and all kinds of things. And it's about a farm family in Denby, Iowa, the Langdons, Rosanna and Walter, and their five children and everything that flows from that. And usually you have one protagonist, but we have multiple protagonists in this case.
Well, aren't there multiple protagonists in every family? Wouldn't every family disagree about who's the actual protagonist?
Yeah. Is that a negative protagonist? I thought it was someone that just sort of the action goes through them and then they're the focus. It's not negative necessarily, is it, to say a protagonist?
No. I see the firstborn, his name is Frank, as more like the tree trunk, and then the other limbs go their own ways, as it were.
Yeah. And you're going, what, 30 years at a time? It's 100 years, right, the whole trilogy?
Yes, 100 years. The original trilogy title is The Last 100 Years. And the first volume is about 33 years, second volume is about 34, and the third volume is about 33.
Yeah. And it's remarkably complete look at what their lives were like year by year, starting in what, 1921?
1920. Early 1920. Yeah. Yes, it goes year by year. The years are just about equal. Not exactly. I wish I could have done that, but I didn't.
Yeah, because it doesn't come out equal.
So the whole trilogy moves forward year by year from 1920 to 2019.
Yeah. And was this extrapolated from somebody's Bible that had all these dates written on it? And
No, it wasn't. It just came to me as the title. And then the title sort of dictated the form to me. And I knew that Walter and Rosanna, those are the parents, they were born in 1895 and 1900. And I knew that Frank was born in 1920, and then I just, it was like having children. I just gave the children their characteristics that they were born with, like certain modes of attention or certain ways of being, and then I set them going in this world.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, actually, instead of actually having them, and it's happenstance.
Yeah.
You can actually create characters and create children for yourself.
I was quite interested in writing about babies and children because in my experience as a mom, the babies are quite distinct practically from day one, and so that's always fascinated me as a just as a human characteristic. I mean, even colts and fillies are distinct, even puppies are distinct. So
true.
So I wanted to get into that in this book and let them be born and grow up and find their own married, you know, lovers and marital partners and have their own children and, you know, scratch their heads and forever.
It's so steeped in farm life. You had a farm for a brief time, I guess, but you're from Los Angeles. But you live
in
Iowa.
Well, I was born in Los Angeles. Yeah. I was born in Los Angeles. I grew up in St. Louis.
Right.
In the suburbs, and I lived in Iowa for 24 years. I lived on a farm, but I didn't ever own a farm. I lived in a farmhouse, and the land had been taken over by the neighbor farmers and was farmed by those people, but we lived in the farmhouse.
Yeah. Maybe Joe was doing those fields as well, right? He was farming like three or four different fields.
I think so. The neighbor was a very nice guy, and so it might have been Joe.
Yeah. There's two among the family, the two brothers, Frank and Joe, and they're kind of, there's a little bit of Cain and Abel going on there.
Well, Frank is one of those tough guy older brothers.
Yeah.
Now, Walter, the father, at one point says he doesn't think he's giving the right one the beatings because Frank's getting the beatings and they aren't helping any to tame him, and Joe isn't getting any beatings and maybe he needs a little toughening up. So it's a It's a parental dilemma.
Yeah, and Joe is like but he's like which one? Cain, Rose? It's like Abel. He's more like Abel. He's like he's the farmer, and he names his animals. I mean, which isn't that prohibited on a farm? I thought that you weren't allowed to do that if you're a farm.
You're never supposed to do that. No.
Yeah, but he names them all.
You're not supposed to name the animals.
And he names them all in pairs for some reason.
Well, what he really wants when he's a little boy is a puppy, but no, there's no way they're going to ever let him have a puppy.
No. And so Frank then is quite the opposite of that, and but he ends up going in the army and being involved in like every major war or every major battle in World War II.
Well, no, he's not. He goes to the North African campaign and then the Italian campaign.
Yeah.
And then then they send him to Nice.
Oh, then they send him to Nice.
To the south of France. Yeah. That was quite interesting doing my research about the Second World War, about the soldiers who went through the south of France. They had a lovely time. It wasn't quite nearly like Normandy. They had a much better time. So that was their reward for putting up with all the horrors in Italy.
Yeah. But he was a sniper?
Yes, he was a sniper. There were a few of those. They weren't as common in Europe as they were in the Pacific campaign, and they weren't as common in the Army as they were in the Marines. But he's the type of guy who's always looking into the distance and seeing things. Mm-hmm. And so I decided he needed to be a sniper.
Sniper. But his dad, in the start of the book, it was back from France. He'd been in France, right?
Yes, he'd been in France for a short time. Yeah. He'd gone into the army, and then he had been in France for long enough, but he hadn't really been in the war. It was like a lot of Americans in the First World War. The war ended before they really had to do as much as the French and the English had to do.
Yeah. When the son comes back from World War II, though, it's somewhat different because he's actually a changed man from his experience.
Well, is he? I'm not sure he is. You know, he's developed.
Yeah.
He's now a man, as it were. But I don't know that he's that different from who he was before. I think maybe the war reconfirmed his sense of the world and his sense of himself.
Oh. Well, of course, I can't see beyond 1952.
No, you can't. It's unfortunate for those who have only read Volume 1.
Yeah, okay, so I don't really know what happens. But I thought he came back, you know, a little bit with what they treat now in guys coming back from Iraq and so forth. They have these experiences that they no longer can relate to civilian life. And I got a little bit of that from him, that he's walking around, he's living his life, and he's married now, and he has kids all of a sudden, but he's not really living in that life.
Maybe that's true. I'm not sure that's owing to the war, though.
Well,
I'm not sure he was just ever quite suited for domestic life.
Yeah.
He was a wild kid, you know?
Yeah. And the whole farming thing, how did you... It's amazing because you're in all the crops and the crop failures and what's being planted and how many bushels and all this stuff. How did you research all that or get that sort of lifestyle, a farm lifestyle?
Well, there was plenty of information. I mean, my three favorite websites were a Nebraska website for a model farm, an Iowa website for a model farm, and a Iowa State University website for weather. So the two model farm websites had interviews with lots of farmers about what farming had been like during various decades. And they also had wonderful photographs of farms and implements and techniques and ways to do stuff. And then the Iowa State website, which I use for weather, basically tells you what the weather was like every day of the year since, I don't know, 1900 or something. Mm-hmm. And that's really fascinating because farmers and people living in the country in general pay a lot of attention to the weather, and the weather really affects what they're doing day by day and what will happen to their crops and what will happen to their income. And so maybe because I lived in Iowa, but also because I lived in Missouri and a tornado went by right down the street when I was 6 years old, 7 years old, the weather is really interesting to me. So there's a great deal of weather in this book.
Yeah, and farmers have to be interested in the weather because
yeah.
there's no getting around it. And I guess I read somewhere you said driving through the Amish country so often you sort of osmoted, some of that osmoted, and you're thinking about the countryside and about farming.
Yes, that's when I lived in the abandoned farmhouse. I lived about 30 miles southwest of Iowa City, and so we drove through Amish country to get to the town that we lived in. And I always had my head hanging out the window looking at what was going on. And that was also a time when I lived there when a book came out called The Closing Circle about environmentalism and the ecosystem. And I remember looking at the water supply coming out of our tap and saying, I wonder what's in there. So I got interested. As soon as I moved to Iowa, I got interested in the ecology of farming and the farming way of life, just in that whole world.
Yeah. And then we get into besides the farming and all that, so also get into other things that are occurring at the time or issues or human feelings, including like Rosanna, for example, is sort of the spiritualist or the religious seeker.
Well, you know who's buried south of Ames, Iowa, on a hillside south of Ames, Iowa, is Billy Sunday.
Right, right.
And I didn't know too much about Billy Sunday until I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame and discovered that Billy Sunday started out as a phenomenal. He was from Story County, Iowa, and he started out as a phenomenal but very odd baseball player in Chicago.
Was he a pitcher?
No, he was a base stealer.
A base stealer.
And he also had a very difficult time playing in shoes because he'd grown up playing barefoot. But he was quite famous in his day, which was, I can't even remember when it was now, like the late 19th century, for being a great base stealer. He worked for Cap Anson, who I think for the Cubs. And so that was fascinating to me that he'd gone. And when he became an evangelist, his signal move was to run on stage as if he were stealing the base, slide into home. And so I just had to, since he was a local Iowa boy, I just had to get Billy Sunday in there.
Got him in there. And she was enamored of him or at least attracted to. Well, she was attracted to various religious things, but he was one of them.
Yeah, she has a crisis, an emotional crisis, and she needs some solace, and Billy Sunday is giving a revival, and they go to the revival. So that happens in 1925 or 6. So that was interesting to put that in. But, you know, the characters, you know, they aren't isolated. They live on the farm, but they aren't isolated from the world they live in. They must react to the things that happen, and lots of things happen, you know, not only the war, but you know, and the depression, but things after the war and all through the 20s. So they live in the world like we do, and they have to react to it.
And the kids all end up on either coast, and one in Washington D.C. and involved in even the Red Scare or whatever you want to call it.
The
J. Edgar
Well,
Hoover.
one of my favorite characters. I do say that I'm fond of my characters, but they feel like family. You know, you have complaints about them, but the people that they marry, I love them as if I had these romantic attachments to them. One, Andy is the one that Frank marries. She's from Decorah, Iowa.
Yeah,
and in her family they speak Norwegian in the house. And Arthur is the mysterious one that Lillian marries, who comes into her soda fountain one day and then spirits her away a few days later. And Arthur is a mystery man.
Yeah. He's like the FBI or CIA or something.
Oh, well, you decide. You'll find out in volume two.
Oh, God. It's a scam, isn't it? We got to buy all three to know what's going on here.
Well, my favorite compliment, which I've been getting, it's amazing to me that on, you know, 3 or 4 days after publication, people come up to me in bookstores and say, I've finished it. I can't wait for volume two. I want to know what happens. So that's my favorite compliment.
This is like Dickens, right? It's a serial. You got to.
That's exactly right.
Get each copy. Is there something Dickensian about this and all the characters and so forth?
I know he's a favorite. I don't think so because I don't feel that I'm of a Dickensian turn of mind, though I love Dickens. I feel that I'm more of a Trollopean turn of mind.
Yeah.
But he too, you know, wrote many volumes, and you wanted to find out what was going to happen next. And so maybe I'm of a 19th century turn of mind.
Could be. I mean, I've read all, you know, not all the books, but most of them. And you're of a lot of turns of mind.
Well, I like different forms.
Yeah.
And I always have. And I've always wanted to write in all different types of forms just to try them out. But, you know, you're writing a tragedy and you think, boy, there's nothing funny in here. And then you're writing, you know, a comedy, and you're thinking, this seems a little shallow. And then you're thinking, well, but there's no magical characters in here, so you have to write a book set at the racetrack where there's some magical characters.
Yeah.
So if you really, I really love reading all kinds of books, that makes me want to write all kinds of books, too.
What's interesting about this is usually you read a novel or whatever you're reading and expect some major events and, you know, a turn of events and followed by a denouement, I think that's what. But you know, and it's not exactly what happens here. It's more or less tracking this family, and there's events that happen, big and small, along the way, but it's very lifelike, really.
Well, yes, I mean, that's what happens. And I don't think I could have written this book when I was young because I didn't realize that then that climaxes come and go of all kinds, you know, and that you and that when something really bad happens, well, yes, you're going to get through that, and it's going to become smaller as you look back on it. And something really good happens, and you're going to get through that, too.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that, you know, I came up with this book when I was, what was it, I was 60. Mm-hmm. And that was when I first came up with the idea. And I think the fact that I had gone through lots of events in my life said to me, you know, well, there needs to be a trilogy like that or, you know, some books like that too, mm-hmm. where the characters just go through them. They live through them. And then they reflect upon them and look back upon them and learn from them.
Yeah. In a sense, though, sir, it defies expectations or convention, really, of the novel form, doesn't it?
So far.
Yeah. So far is that... Okay. So we got to see 2 and 3. Okay.
Maybe that's the answer to... Maybe that's the title of volume two, yeah. So far.
Yeah, Some Luck and then So Far and then... How about that? Is volume 3?
Yeah, how about that?
Oh,
that's
boy.
A good answer. That's a good title for volume 3. How
yes.
about that? I'll suggest that to them.
Okay. And Some Luck is obviously could go either way, too. That's what I like about that.
Mm-hmm.
As in good or bad.
But I heard you wondering about the pronunciation of Some Luck, and I have to say I pronounce it Some Luck.
That's pretty even.
I want to get that ambiguity in there, you know?
Some Luck is probably the most common way I would think of doing it. Some Luck. Or some. I could use Some Luck, you know, but then you have to say...
We all could use Some Luck.
Yeah. Well, it's an amazing effort.
Thank you.
The Langdons, and it's really quite amazing. Who does trilogies anymore? Are there trilogies going on? I suppose in fantasy...
You didn't read the Twilight series?
No.
You didn't read Harry...
Oh, right, that's right. Those are, yeah, but that's like in the fantasy world, right?
Yeah. But, you know, trilogies aren't so common. But, you know, John Updike did a trilogy, the Rabbit trilogy.
Oh, that's true.
And they're interesting to do because they require a lot of pruning, a lot of shaping. So from a craft point of view, they're an interesting challenge.
Yeah, but you know, the cliff notes for it will be the size of a regular book.
I hope so.
Jane, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know you got lots of things to do. The book is called Some Luck. Jane
well,
Smiley.
Michael, thank you for having me. It was really fun.
Nice talking to you again. Jane Smiley, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, from Pano Valley, California. Some Luck. Volume 1. Okay. You should really like it. And it's in Iowa, but it's very much sort of like Wisconsin, you know, farm life. They're all German farmer settlers, and several generations of them so far. It goes on and on. Interesting characters, too. You can relate to them. Hi there.
Hi. You had her on years ago, like in the mid-90s.
For Moo. I think we had her
on
Moo.
Yeah. Moo in Iowa, at Des Moines, I think you had her.
Yeah, yeah. And it was about, we thought it might have been about Wisconsin. You know, Moo U. But it turns out it was Iowa, so, where they had the world's biggest pig
right. At
that time. I'm not sure how big that was, but they had this
big.
Giant pig there.
Big.
It was,
they're big.
The centerpiece of the book was this giant pig. And that was a comedy, of course.
Yeah. My uncle was a pig farmer.
He was, really?
Uncle Ross, yeah.
Oh.
He had big pigs.
Whereabouts?
Iowa.
In Iowa?
Yeah.
What kind of pig did he have there? What kind of pigs did he have there? You remember the breed?
I don't know. No, I don't remember the breed. But
Duroc?
They were huge.
That's
they
big,
were like,
isn't it?
I don't know. You know.
See? Them's nice big. All the Hampshires
tall.
Are okay. But
they
give me
scary,
a good Duroc
too.
Anytime because a lot of more bacon on them.
Scary.
They got the big bacon on them, don't they? The Durocs. Anyone here a pig farmer? I can say whatever I want then. That's cool. Okay. How about a little tune here? What you got for us?
This is called The Great Pumpkin Waltz.
Sounds great.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
That deserved that.
I'm up here sweating, getting nothing from you people.
Can't let it bother me. I can't let it bother me. There lies madness. This is the wrong stack, I think, here. She just says that she's retired. Rose Weber, Burlington, Wisconsin, retired. That doesn't give me much to work with, Rose. Hi, Rose. What'd you retire from?
Working in a school?
Teacher aid. Teacher aid, cool. What school would that be then, in Burlington?
Yes.
Okay. See, it didn't really give me a lot to work with here. Otherwise, your interests, do you have interests? Okay, well, come on, all right. You got to put everything down here on this card, or I got nothing. All it says is Rose Weber, Burlington, retired. I got to go up to you and get the details. All right, pardon me. I have to go down here. Excuse me. Clutch your purse. I notice you're clutching your purse as I pay. Is that me personally, or is it you always do that?
I don't trust anybody.
Okay, so it's not just me. Thank you very much. Nice purse, though. You must have a lot in it if you're clutching it like. I'll look for you on the way out there. See, grab that and run. How are you? Pretty good?
Very good.
Are you cold? Are you seeing me?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Turn it up! What's your name?
David.
No, forget that. David's cold, but he can wear something if he's cold. Everything good here? Okay, nice to see you. Okay, Wheaties shirt, Breakfast of Champions. That's a classic shirt.
It is.
Where does a guy get a classic shirt like that, that Wheaties Breakfast of Champions shirt?
I don't know that you want to know that.
Oh, we do.
Walmart.
Walmart! Walmart, Breakfast of Champions, I always say. That's a good one. Okay. We are, I'm up to Rose yet. I'm sorry, did I step on something?
Yeah.
Was it important?
No.
Oh. Are you with the Webbers here? Are you you're Rose Weber?
Yes.
Are you with Rose?
Yes.
Okay. See, did you see, can I show you, what's your name?
Sid Weber.
Sid Weber. Look at her card, Sid. Yeah. It just says retired on it.
Yeah. We are.
Yeah, well, where's your card? I don't even see, you didn't even put in a card.
Yes, I did. It's in there unless you threw it out.
Okay. Well, what did you see on your card then?
I'm tired.
You said you're tired?
Yeah.
Okay, and she's retired. Okay. What a cute couple, these Webbers. I like them already. Hi, Rose.
Hi.
Doing pretty good?
Yes.
Do you enjoy retirement?
Yes, a lot. Yeah.
What do you do with your time?
I am into collecting genealogy.
Your own or other people's?
Well, anybody. No, basically our families, yes.
How far do the Webbers go back?
Well,
you're not a Weber originally.
No, and they go back to, I don't know, because I can't get to Germany to get the people way back.
Yeah. How far back have you gone?
Just to the U.S., which is 1880 or so.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And
what was going on then with the Webbers? Wait, what were you?
What was I?
I mean, you know, before you were a Weber.
Wagner.
I mean, what was I? How clear can I be about this? I don't know what's happening here. So you were the Wagners and the Webbers. Have you looked back in the Webbers yourself?
Nope. See, that's it all. I don't have much to do with it.
No interest in you as far as you're concerned? With
I don't know. I never did it, I guess.
Before you retired, what job did you do?
I was in construction work and other
Factory
work and factory stuff work, like that. Okay. Yeah.
And you were a teacher's aide.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
But now you do all kinds of stuff. You volunteer and you just do the genealogy. Or?
Well, I did volunteer, but now I'm finishing up some genealogy books. Yeah. Yeah.
Writing them or reading them?
Writing them, and I enjoyed this segment you just had because it kind of reminded me of what I was doing because I'm also writing stories in my books, and so it was. You know, interesting to hear, and I'm going to read that book.
Yeah, you should. I'll give it to you if you like.
Really?
Yeah. You don't want to buy it. I mean, you got to buy all three of them there, and it's like $120 for the set.
Oh, no. Okay.
Remind me to give you, before you leave, say, give me some luck.
Okay. Okay.
Very nice to meet you both. The Webbers, ladies and gentlemen. The Webbers. The Wagner Webbers. What? Am I okay? I'm okay. I'm stuck here in this aisle, though. Anyone else want to talk in this aisle? This gentleman back here? Okay, wait a second. I got to go back here. These are the people from Louisiana. Are you part of this reunion? I thought everyone here was. What kind of reunion is just the two of you, then?
I mean, you've... We came to reunion with our siblings.
He's turning 80 in December, and we didn't want to come up here in the snow.
Yeah. So you are with them?
Yes. Right. Yes.
You just said you weren't then.
We're together, no, but we live in Baton Rouge, and they live in...
Oh, yeah. No, but this is all part of the reunion. Yes. Is what I'm trying to get at. I'm suffering here. I'm trying to understand. You know, I'm actually trying to understand. So that you're related how then?
Sid is my brother. Rose is my sister-in-law.
Brother.
This is my brother,
sister.
Jim.
We're the outlaws.
And my sister Mary.
Yeah.
My wife, Janet.
That's a tough one. I remember who the wife is. Okay. But the family originally clustered in what locale? In Burlington?
Burlington, Wisconsin.
Yeah. You somehow were flung out from that cluster to Louisiana.
Yeah. In 71, I went to UW-Fayetteville and got a degree in engineering and got a job with Shell and ended up in Baton Rouge.
Okay. You were there in Baton Rouge at that time?
No, I'm a native New Orleanian.
Oh, cool.
And we met in Baton Rouge years later.
Yeah. There you have it. Everything you want to know. Any questions? I see a Jane Smiley book here. I see the next Smiley book is going to be the family here. Possibly the Webbers, the extended Weber family? Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You had something important to say, and I'll be glad to stop my career for a moment. Yes. How are you?
Frank Steele. From Milwaukee.
Hi, Frank.
I'm in McQuanago now. Yes. This is my wonderful girlfriend, Nancy.
How are you?
And our wonderful friends, Dub and Greg, invited us up to your show today.
It is.
Dub is 60 years old today. Yes. So let's give her a little happy birthday.
I don't think she wanted that pointed out.
This girl doesn't look 60, does she?
She doesn't.
Now, I went to Marshall High School. I know you went to Washington. What year did you graduate?
60-something.
I grew up.
It had a six in it. I know that.
I went to school with Judy Feldman at Marshall.
Yeah, don't know her.
Cousin?
No, never heard of her.
Wonderful lady. We used to hang around Capitol.
The two N's or one N on her name?
One
Feldman.
One N. Like,
I didn't know her though.
But my dad used to own a corned beef corner at Capitol Court.
Corned beef corner at Capitol Court.
Johnny Walker's. We used to get the Flag Brothers shoes. Remember?
Yeah, Johnny Walker's. Yeah.
And I hung around with Judy Feldman and Alan Laufer.
Can we pick this up maybe a little later at the tavern? If you want to go to the Great Dane up there, and we'll talk over the rest
of it. All right,
nice to meet you.
We had a great time. You do a good job here.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Happy birthday. Sorry about that. It's like an expose to say that you're 60 at this. Okay. Okay, so we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, because everything's been working like clockwork so far. So that's going to work. But before we can do it, we have to know who can and cannot participate in that quiz, and who's got that. Okay, can I just throw you this microphone?
All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Getting biblical out there, keep an eye out for vermin and locusts. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who say otherwise is itching for a fight.
Great job. Thank you very much. Thank you for catching the microphone and my engineer's thing. Okay, let's see the hands of those. Okay, there's someone who wants to play the quiz right back there. She said she's waited 25 years for this moment. That was you? Is that you? Didn't you say that? Didn't you just say you waited 25 years and now you don't want to do it? That was counterintuitive. If you waited 25 years and now you don't want to do it.
I do want to play the quiz.
Okay, and you are?
Jenny Boswell.
Jenny, where are you from?
Humboldt, Iowa.
Humboldt, Iowa. We always.
I'm here with them.
You're with your who?
Luther friends from Luther College.
From Luther College. That's great. Luther College. Yeah, Luther. Luther. So give me one good reason why you should play this quiz.
Because we're all here celebrating our 50 years of being alive and together on this earth.
50 years of being live and together on the earth. That's almost too important to leave to this quiz, but okay, come on up here if you would. Right up this way. Give her a little encouragement. Okay, and have a seat. Sorry, you have all this junk around you here. My
it's kind of like home.
Stuff. It's a little. It's you know, I have a few stuffed animals, not many, really. Okay. Okay, and you tell me your name again.
Is Jenny.
Jenny, with a J E N N I E.
J E N N Y.
Y. Okay. All right, Mike. It's right for tax purposes. And what are you doing these days, Jenny?
I teach second grade.
Second grade is the best
yes,
grade.
It is awesome.
There's no better grade. Because by the time they get to third grade, they're jaded.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, they're pretty hip, I suppose, by third grade. Because third grade, you're what, 8 years old?
Yeah, we have 7 years old.
Yeah, seven is perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, and where are you doing that?
Humboldt, Iowa, and Taft Elementary.
Taft Elementary, the Fighting
Wildcats.
The Fighting Wildcats of Taft Elementary in Humboldt, Iowa. That sounds great. How many kids do you have?
23.
Do you have the same 23 all day, or they change that around now?
Most of the day I have the same 23.
What happens part of the day?
Part of the day we change out for reading groups.
Oh, they go into reading groups. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. When do they start having to go to different teachers?
About fifth grade in Humboldt.
Fifth grade in Humboldt? Mm-hmm. I remember that. That was so traumatic.
Yeah.
I remember it like it was yesterday, mm-hmm. Yes. And it was not. I had to go, I had Mrs. Rose, and then suddenly I had like, three teachers.
Yes.
I felt abandoned.
We kind of do too when our kids leave us.
Yeah, no, yeah. I bet they go into third grade. You hold someone back just because you like them?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I feel like sometimes I want to loop with them, and sometimes it's like nice to move them on.
Is it 50-50? Well, we won't ask for a percentage on it. Well, Jenny, there's some out there plays along with you, and how do they do that?
People at home who want to play the quiz, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay, the question is, give me an example of onomatopoeia. This is from the school category. We can do that. That shouldn't be that hard. Mike Greco's on the line from Radford, Virginia. Mike.
Yes.
You remember onomatopoeia?
Yes. Isn't that where the word kind of sounds like the sound actually happens, like pop?
I think you got it. Or plop, or oink, or chirp, or cluck. Yes. A lot of animal sounds I've noticed.
Yeah, Mike.
Very good, Mike. You qualified right off the bat. And what do you do these days in Radford, Mike?
I teach school.
Oh, you too?
Ooh.
What grade do you teach?
I teach eighth graders.
Eighth graders. They're pretty... that's a great age, too, because they're not yet in ninth grade.
A lot of energy.
A lot of energy. Middle school?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And what is your subject?
Civics.
Civics. They still teach that. I'm so relieved to know there's still civics.
Yes, there is.
Because I took it, and I still didn't know what it was. All these years later, I know I took civics, but I can't remember what it was. So, but it's a good thing. Citizenship used to be called, right? Sort of?
Well, we learn about American government, how it works, and state government.
Yeah. Okay. Mike, Jenny?
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Jenny. I have a daughter, Jenny. This is good karma.
This is good karma.
You guys are a team now,
both teachers.
How can they lose?
We are bonding.
Okay. What categories have we there, Sarah?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Mike, you picked the first one. What would you like?
Let's start current events.
Current events, right out of the news. Okay, who or what has a date on November 12th with 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko comet? This was in all the news. I'm surprised you didn't pick up on it.
Was that an address?
No, it's the name of a comet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko. It's the name of the comet. They use both names in a comet, so both the father and the mother, so that's why that happens.
What do
Someone
you think,
that has a date with a comet on November 12th, any idea?
It's a planet that's going by, Venus or Mars, I believe. Jenny, do you know which one?
I don't know, Mike.
No, you're
Mars. I think it's Mars.
You're in the wrong orbit here entirely. It's Rosetta. The space European spacecraft is going to land on the comet on November 12th. Big news all over the world, except around here. It's not so big. We don't hear much about it here or in Radford, Virginia. So don't worry about it. It's only
one wrong.
Yeah, I don't worry about it.
The categories left are people, places, things you should have learned in school. You might want to choose that one: science or odds and ends.
I was kind of thinking that because I like the category title, things you should have been in school.
School? Okay.
If you'd been paying attention.
Okay. What does a fluid stream create, according to Bernoulli?
What
kind of a science thing.
A fluid stream creates a what?
Bernoulli said. And then we started building airplanes and proved them either right or wrong. I forget. A fluid stream creates a partial what? Mike?
Mike, I need some help on this one again.
Okay, my field civics, flow.
Lava flow.
Creates a lava flow?
A jet stream. No.
I'm sorry, it's a partial vacuum.
Oh.
Fluid stream, partial vacuum.
I must not have been paying attention.
Creating lift in airplane wing. Okay, you're not doing really well at all for teachers.
That's too wrong.
Okay.
Ouch.
The categories remaining are people, places, science, or odds and ends, and nobody has ever lost the quiz.
Oh.
No, so far.
We could be setting a
so
record.
So far, James Smiley's new book.
The pressure.
Mike?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Can't get this wrong. Best way to appear smart is to A, say something in French or Latin, B, wear glasses, or 3, lie about having read the classic books. Mm. Best way to try to appear smart, let's say. Never works.
My husband has some really funky glasses. I'd be partial to that one.
Okay.
But it's not my turn.
Glasses.
It's Mike's turn.
No, you talk together. You collaborate on this.
I like the glasses answer, Mike. What do you think?
Oh, okay, I'll go along with that.
Glasses. Well, I have to accept that. Let's face it. You're talking intelligent. Look.
That's one right and two wrong. Okay. And the categories left are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Let's go with science.
Science it is. All right. As far as female Lincoln sparrows go, which is the male deal breaker? Which of the following things really makes or breaks the deal for the male to the female Lincoln sparrow? Is it plumage, song, or nest feathering technique? Which one is the deal breaker?
For this?
That's a crow, I believe, John. That did not sound like a sparrow.
I was kind of leaning towards nest feathering technique.
Mike, what were you leaning towards?
I was leaning toward the song.
Oh.
You know, that sounds like a good idea.
Yes, all right, that's it. You got it. Song, this is it. You can do it now. Yep. What's left?
Places or odds and ends?
Hurry.
Take a pick.
What do we have?
Places or odds and ends?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Okay. Okay. Rent anything you want as long as it's a what? Impala, Camry, or Altima? You go out to rent a car, what's the car you're most likely to have there to rent? Impala, Camry, or Altima?
I'd say a Camry.
Or an Impala or an Altima?
Or maybe an Altima.
Or an Impala.
How about an Impala?
Or a Camry or an Altima. Mike?
I go with Impala.
Oh, Impala. He goes with Impala. Do you? Yes, that's right. Oh, what a...
Jenny, you'll be ready to cheer the Wisconsin Badgers to homecoming victory next week with a pair of fantastic plastic flamingo lawn ornaments and Tired and Badger red and white from Pink Ink. Mike, start your day the What Do You Know audience way with a cup of Stephen Brew's breakfast blend coffee and enrich your afternoon with smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right. And each of you can get some food and fun with a Wonderland Eat Me fruit and nut bar in a box with games, quotes, and puzzles inspired by the Lewis Carroll tale from the Unemployed Philosopher. Guild, and continue the mirth playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including the Down the Rabbit Hole Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at NotMuch.com. Congratulations to both.
Thanks, Jerry. Great job. Thank you for coming and playing. Mike, hang on for a second.
What Do You Know returns to Monona Terrace for live shows beginning next week. Upcoming guests include singer, songwriter, and funny man Robbie Foulkes and polka legend Steve Meisner. Ticket and full guest information is available at NotMuch.com. Don't go anywhere. There's more fun ahead with the soulful singer Grace Weber, plus another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Stephanie Lee. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, with Sarah Nix announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome Wisconsin native singer Grace Weber, plus a classy batch of Thanks for the Memos and a galactic round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Now, once again, Michael Feldman.
Okay. Well, you know, each week at this time. Hello? Each week at this time. Yes, that's right. We read a memo because it's time for Thanks for the Memo. And here we got one right here now. This is, this is kind of good. It's actually a letter to Professor, but we're counting it as a memo because that's what I pulled out of the pack here. Okay. And it reads as follows, to Professor Johnson. Subject, sorry for missing class. Professor Johnson, My name is Walter Smith. I'm in your Monday, Wednesday, 9 a.m. business project management class in room 306. However, today, I realize that I misread the room number as 305 and have been attending Mr. Wellington's Accounting Fundamentals 3200 class. Because I had already been attending the accounting class, I was planning on just picking up the class. However, I found out that I already took the class a couple years ago, and it would not count for anything if I took it again. I'm hoping that it isn't too late for me to catch up with the class. I'd be really grateful if I could come by your office tomorrow or after class on Wednesday to get any information or paperwork I have missed. Sincerely, Walter Smith. Thank you so much, Walter. It's a classic. It's an instant classic of a letter to a professor. Okay. And where can they send those? Anywhere they want to? Or
they can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Do they have to send them, or can they just hold on to them if they want to? A lot of people just save memos like that.
And don't share them with the public?
Yeah.
I guess they can do that, too.
Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. In all the news that is around here, just one item really caught my eye. They're calling it traffic gate. Because a 54-year-old man has been arrested in the theft of a 1,300-pound traffic gate near the Fox River there. I guess it's up outside of Green Bay or Appleton. It reads as follows. He stole the entire traffic. You've seen these gates. It's a gate to the bridge, so it's probably not a good one to steal. Probably could find other gates that weren't as crucial. So driving into the Fox River. A 54-year-old man has been arrested on the theft of a 1,300-pound traffic gate earlier this month at a construction site near the Fox River. Green Bay police say a tipster led them to an Ashwaubenon residence where they found the 22-foot-long gate, formerly used to control traffic on the Don A. Tillman Bridge. That's a big one, isn't it? The Tillman Bridge? Isn't that the big one in Green Bay? Anyone hear from? No, okay, never mind. Which is just above the West Mason Street site where it was stolen. A large amount of lumber was also taken from the site. The man was arrested and jailed on charges of theft and criminal damage to property. Most of the property was recovered, returned to the owner. The man was using it to block his driveway from Packer parking, apparently. Traffic gate. So thank you very much for that news. And that's all the news that is and what have you. So now you're pretty much up to date to everything going on around here. Grace Weber is joining us today. This is very exciting. She has a new CD out. It's called The Refinery. And this is the way she actually looks. Talk about exciting. She has the voice of an angel, ladies and gentlemen. And she's from around here. She's kind of from Milwaukee, but actually Wauwatosa. Slight upgrade from Milwaukee, from where I live. Would you welcome, please, to our stage, Grace Weber, ladies and gentlemen. There she is. Hi, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, you came from a musical family, didn't you? Was everyone?
Yeah. My grandpa and grandma had 10 kids. My grandpa was a musician. He was a piano player, so he made all of his kids, my aunts and uncles, learn instruments growing up. So.
Yeah. So that was like, there was like the trap family of Wauwatosa there.
It was, yeah.
And were they all different genres of music?
All different genres. Yeah, my mom, different instruments. My mom played violin. My uncle played drums. Two uncles played piano. We got a trombone player in there. And they would have to have rehearsals like every Sunday. And my mom's memory of it is not as pleasant as my memory was growing up, you know, having all these musical aunts and uncles. And we'd play around the piano at Christmas and I'd put on musicals with my cousins and stuff. It was very, very
so no colorful. One had to be forced to play the clarinet in your family?
You know, no, not in my immediate family. No one was forced to play anything. No.
Yeah. Were there any renegades who actually refused to sing or play an instrument?
I don't know. I got to check in with my mom. I think my mom was one of the renegades, probably.
Yeah.
She was, although she still has her violin. It's, she pulls it out once in a while.
She still has. And that's in Wauwatosa, right? Which is just
Wauwatosa, yep.
Down the street from, I lived on 58th and Center.
Okay.
It was as close to Wauwatosa as you can get without being, you know, in the tax zone.
Right.
of Wauwatosa. Well, that's fantastic. And then from Wauwatosa to you're in Brooklyn now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you've done so much in between. What was your big breakthrough as far as singing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been singing my whole life. I don't even remember the first time I started singing. It was always something, you know, when I was 7 years old, people say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And a singer. And so, yeah. But probably when I was 16, I got to sing at Showtime at the Apollo in New York. And that, and I loved that show when I was a kid. I used to sneak down, and it was at midnight on Saturday. And I always would say, you know, I'm going to be on that show. And I figured out a way to get on. I auditioned for the show in Madison. They had a traveling Showtime at the Apollo. And so I auditioned when I was 15 and then got to be on the show in New York when I was 16. So I was in the adult category. And I could have gotten booed off the stage. And the person before me actually did get booed off. And so, you know, everyone's really riled up. And the guy with the cane comes out and, you know, takes him off the stage.
They have a hook.
He comes out and it's a whole, you know, thing. And the producer just pats me on the back. He's like, good luck, honey. And I'm just like, why did I always want to do this show? But it was great. It was an amazing experience. But yeah, that and, you know, from there, just a lot of really cool opportunities. Got to sing on Oprah, which was really fantastic.
Amazing.
And yeah.
And you are amazing, Grace, I have to say.
Thank you.
Amazing voice. What are you going to do for us?
All right, this song is off the new record. It's called Love and Pain.
Flowers bloom like it's a holiday, and they're all out in the sun. Cameras zoom, but they don't capture what it's like to be in love. But what is love without the pain? It's like the two are born the same. What is something that you feel that makes the other seem real? Whispered words take on new meanings, like they break if said aloud. And the lines, if they were written, no, they wouldn't get the main part down. What is love without the pain? It's like the two are born the same. What is something that you feel that makes the other seem real? Right now it all feels like a car with no wheels, like a trackless train. All clear, everything slips into gear. We can drive away. Yeah, I try to breathe, but I start choking. Try to smile, but only frown. Try to cool this bed I'm smoking, Lord. I can't put this fire out. But what is love without the pain? It's like the two are both the same. What is something that you feel that makes the other seem real? But can you tell me how to all seem real? Hey,
thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I lost my pen. That's just the way I would have done it myself. I don't know about the last note there. Probably wouldn't have hit that. Fabulous. So, you got to be born with that voice, right? I mean, this is a genome. You can't really take any credit for it, right?
I don't think so. I was always singing around the house, and it just was a part of me, like talking, I guess.
Yeah, but you've worked at it as well.
I have,
obviously.
Yeah. I grew up singing in gospel choir in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And then...
Where did you sing there?
It was the inner city youth gospel choir.
Oh, really? That's very famous, actually.
Yeah. It was an amazing choir, and you know, singing in gospel choirs and singing in churches sort of solidified everything that I love about singing. Because mm-hmm. when you're in that environment, you know, you're encouraged to just let everything go,
right.
And you get the feedback right away. So you know, you're singing a note, and it's like, yes, sing, and you're okay. I will, you know. And
it's different than Wauwatosa, I'll say.
It gets a little, yeah, depending on what church you're in, it can be a little different. But it's it's just, I love soul music, and I love, you know, not being afraid to be emotional when you sing.
Yeah. And you can't fake it in gospel. There's no faking.
There's no faking.
It all comes through.
Yeah.
Who are these two fellows here that are standing behind you?
Well, this guy over here is Keith Pulvermacher. He's from Wisconsin. And
hey,
we
Keith.
Actually Hi. Played, when I was 16, my first demo ever. Keith was the guy that the producer called in to come play on the record. And yeah. So we've been playing ever since.
Oh, that's great.
And then, give it up.
Keith.
And Elliot Skinner over here is my friend from New York, and we met through a program called Young Arts. And so we were just in California a couple days ago, and then we took a red eye over here tonight. So we've been traveling for the past 3 months, and both of these guys are their own artists too. So Keith Pulvermacher has his own career, own music, songwriter. Elliot Skinner is also his own songwriter, singer. So it's pretty cool to have these two guys with me.
Yeah, Elliot. And he does a very nice harmony.
Yes, he does, yes.
It's beautiful. Got another one for us?
We do, yeah. Elliot's going to go over the piano on this one.
Okay.
And this is actually a duet between me and Elliot, so
okay.
Elliot and I. And we, it's called Like a Fool, and it's a song that I wrote, about somebody who taught me how to love myself again when I forgot how. My love is a martyr, laying down his life for mine. And my love is an anchor, holding down the boat while I rock my worries.
Still the same to you, and I'm correct.
choose, still you love me like a fool. Oh, I could be a shining star for you. I could be standing tall for you. Take me as I am. Oh, broken down, I'm hollowed out. Ooh, 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 ooh. Nothing is simple, 'cause we're
from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI. That's Public Radio International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
What? Okay. I'm fine.
I can say it again. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Am I going in the audience again?
Sure.
Is that what I'm doing now? Or you guys are going to play a tune?
No. Go in the audience.
I'll go in the audience? Oh, okay. But I'm a little, my goosebumps have prevented me from thinking about anything other than Grace Weber. So I've got to do that. Okay, thank you very much. All right. Oh, God, wasn't that good? She's so good. Amazing. I might have had Jane Smiley for freshman English at Iowa State in the spring of 1980. You might have, David?
Yep.
Wouldn't you know if you had or not?
I don't remember.
Well, then you were there, I guess, at that time. If you don't remember anything from, what year was that, 1982?
1982.
Okay, let's see exactly what he does remember and what he doesn't. What do you remember and what don't? What, you know you were in the class?
Yeah, I was in an English class.
You were in an English class.
Okay.
At Iowa State.
Correct. And she was there at that time.
She was there at that time. Did you happen to notice who the teacher was standing in front of you?
Well, it was a young lady about her age, but she was brunette at that time, so I don't know if it was her or not.
She was a brunette. Did she have a name attached to the face? Or?
That's the part I don't remember.
Were you an English major?
Absolutely not.
That was like the only course you took in English?
Pretty close. Ag business.
You're in ag business?
Yes.
Well, it helps to know English in ag business.
Yes, it does.
And have you been in ag business ever since?
I'm a banker now.
Okay. So that didn't work out either, ag business?
Correct.
Is fallback position is be a banker?
Yes. It's worked out.
I'm sorry that we don't have her on the line yet. I would ask her about you.
I thought she might be here.
Oh, that's why you came?
No, I came with my wife's class reunion for Luther.
Yeah, of course, and she was on earlier on the quiz, I know. This is all class reunion then?
Yes.
Yes. What class would this be in when?
Luther College, 1986.
Luther College, 86! The fighting Norse. Norse.
We used to call them Norsemen, but they're more politically correct now, so it's just Norse.
Norse. Yeah. Persons, the Fighting Norse Persons from Luther. All right. Good school, Luther. Okay. Well, hello to Luther out there then. All right. I can't go through your cards here because I got them all messed up. So I'm just going to wander around here and bother people randomly. Let's go down this aisle here. Pardon me, I'm not going to bother you because you
seem to have enough problems.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah. What, anything I can help with, though? Or?
Not today, but I appreciate
it. Okay, all right. Day going okay? Or you have...
it's a great day.
What are you planning on doing after this?
Heading back to Milwaukee.
Back to Milwaukee? Yeah. And what's going on there?
Well, we'll find out. I'm going to meet up with some friends, grab some beers, have some chicken wings.
Yeah.
Beers and chicken wings. Okay. Where are the Badgers? Are they playing today? No. They got a bye. That's good. Because I noticed no one is parked on my lawn. Well, that's, how are you?
Good.
Are you a Badger?
Iowa.
I noticed you're wearing a Wisconsin Badger shirt, but you're from Iowa?
Yeah.
What is this? Do you just wear this when you leave town, or what?
Yeah. Yes.
Where in Iowa are you from then?
Cedar Falls.
Cedar Falls. I've been to Cedar Falls. You know, I've been to Cedar Falls, and I've been to Cedar Rapids. Not only do I mix them up, but there's no falls in Cedar Falls, and there's no rapids in Cedar Rapids. So you got to stop naming things that in Iowa. Could you speak to someone about that?
I'll try.
Is there a falls? Someone said there was a falls, but I...
There's not.
No. You've been to Cedar Rapids?
Yes.
There's like a log they threw in the river. And I said, oh, there's... No, it's right there. You can't see it. Oh, that little... That log thing is... So there must have been a falls originally, though. Did it finally fall or something? Or what do falls do when they stop being falls?
I don't know.
They dammed them up.
Oh, there, thank you, sir. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. They dammed them up. And that was a good thing, wasn't it? No.
They used it for power.
For power, of course. But it was a beautiful falls. What a shame, because people came from miles around and saying, where are you going? To see the falls. To Cedar Falls. They thought it said to see the falls, but it was actually Cedar Falls. Oh, never mind. Okay, thank you. Well, thank you for pointing. And you are?
Katie.
And
Jaya.
Thank you very much for clearing that up. Are you with Katie and Jaya?
Yep.
Proud of them, huh?
Yeah.
Know all about Cedar Falls and everything?
Yes. We live close to there.
To where?
To Cedar Rapids. We're not from Cedar Falls. Katie's from Cedar Falls.
Okay. We're from Iowa City.
We're from Iowa City.
Okay, well, then you have nothing to explain because it's Iowa. They said, what should we name it? I don't know. It's in Iowa. Let's call it Iowa City. You know, no big deal. No falls and no... How are you?
Good.
Are you? How are things? I mean, are you here visiting for something or?
No, I'm over here.
You live here now?
Yeah.
Are you in school or?
Just graduated.
You graduated. Congratulations, a graduate. Boom chakalaka, boom chakalaka. And what did you graduate in?
I'm a Buckeye.
You're what?
I'm a Buckeye. I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, you're a Buckeye from Ohio. Okay, that's okay. Don't apologize. Someone has to be a Buckeye, but I mean, what course of study?
Marketing.
Or don't they have them there at Buckeye? You're a Buckeye, get out of here. That's what they say. Marketing? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Have you found a line of work yet or a job?
Still searching.
Still searching, okay. Well, and are you here searching right now for a job?
Yeah.
Okay. And what about you? Are you a Buckeye?
Yes. Yep, I graduated OSU, so.
The OSU, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, the OSU. I never figured that out.
We always say the University of Wisconsin and the Badgers, so I guess it's okay to use that.
Yeah, but I never did. I always called it OSU or Ohio State University.
Don't you think that Buckeye fans are the craziest all-around fans, certainly in the Big Ten, but possibly anywhere?
I would definitely agree with that, yes.
I mean, the vehemence of the... I mean, they have entire families that worship them. There's one guy there I read contributed like a million actual Buckeyes. Did you hear about that guy? The actual Buckeye, like they need them. You know, what is a Buckeye good for? Nothing. Right, a Buckeye nut. Whoever's get me a pound of Buckeyes, honey. They're inedible, I think, as far as I know, right? Can you eat a Buckeye?
I'm not sure, but they do make this like chocolate and peanut butter thing that looks like a Buckeye.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But as far as a Buckeye, I haven't ever eaten a Buckeye even.
No, because you go to Columbus or wherever, and they'll say, "Here, have a Buckeye." Well, thanks. It's a nice suit. It's shiny. They're kind of cool or something, but they're useless. And this guy like donated a million Buckeyes to the university. They were thrilled.
Oh, I bet.
You know about that guy?
No, I haven't heard about him.
And what field did you get into then?
I actually studied Arabic.
Arabic at OSU?
Yes.
What are you doing now?
I'm a supply chain manager at Rock Auto.
Where?
Rock Auto. It's an online auto parts retailer.
Okay. Is the Arabic come in handy for that?
Actually, sometimes we do get some customers that speak Arabic, and they'll call in, and I can talk to them, which is really nice.
At first, I thought you said Iraq Auto, and I thought maybe it might come in. Some Arabic would come in handy.
Well, actually, I've been to Iraq. I was in the military, so I got to go to actually not an auto parts store, but basically a car dealership there, which is
good. Yeah. So the whole Iraq thing has been good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Very nice to meet you both. You and you are?
Sean.
Sean and
Lala.
Sorry, you were just here when I came down here, and you're next. Now imagine how these people feel seeing, you know, that I went through your lives and they're next, and I can exempt you if you don't want to be involved in it.
Oh, that's right.
Feel good about it?
Feel good about
being part of it or not being part of it?
Whatever works.
Whatever works, okay. Very nice. I should ask you as well.
I'm thrilled.
You're thrilled?
I am.
Okay. Let's start with you then.
All right.
What are you thrilled about?
I'm thrilled. My husband brought me here after, he's talked about your show for, we've been married how long, 26 years? A long time. This is his biggest thrill. I mean, and mine too. So here we are.
Yours too, but probably secondarily. So what's your name?
Roger.
Roger and
Sue.
Roger and Sue. 26 years you've been talking, or however long you've been married?
Yes, 26 years, yes.
It's usually the husband who doesn't know the number.
Not in this group.
Who's counting, right, when you're having fun? What's the point?
I am from Minnesota originally, and whenever we drive to Minneapolis, we listen to your show. So it's really been nice. Nice to see you finally.
Well, I'm glad to be helpful on those long drives. You just have to drive on a Saturday morning, though, and get there.
Kills a good 2 hours.
Let's
That's
give
the way
him
I look
wine.
At it, too. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. And so are you in town now for some other purpose, for an occasion, or?
No, we just came out for this, and I work out here, so that's...
You work out or you work out here?
Yeah.
You could be fit. I can't tell from this angle.
I do work in town here, but we live in Milwaukee, so...
Okay. That's a bit of a commute, though, isn't it?
Sometimes, yes.
What do you do?
I'm an architect.
Well, you're an architect. You're asking me or you're telling me? Architect? I don't know. Do you build things? You're probably an architect.
Yes.
Design thing.
Yes.
Are you like commercial or residential?
Yes.
Like big things?
Yeah. Well, as big as we can find, yes. University stuff.
You do like building, campus building and stuff?
Yes.
Have you done anything out here?
Well, I'm just starting out at a place here, but we're working on one of the campus buildings.
Can you tell me, or you'd have to kill me?
Medicine building?
Veterinary Medicine Building is a very nice building right now. What are you going to expand it?
There's part of it that's going to be remodeled.
Yeah.
It's the part that faces the University Drive where all the solar panels are.
Yeah.
So
that's got to go.
That's got to go.
You get rid of those animals, they really stink a place up pretty bad.
Yes. Yeah, that's...
Even though it is vet medicine. And what are you in?
I'm a registered nurse, so I work in Milwaukee. I'm in charge of an operating room there, one of the hospitals. Yeah.
Do you have an anniversary or anything coming up? Because we could give you some wine or something.
Well, it was back in May, but...
They have an anniversary in May, and we missed it.
Well, then
How
let's,
about a bottle of wine?
We should send them home with two bottles of award-winning wines, Domaine Dussac and Prairie Fumé from the Wollersheim Winery.
Sounds good. All right. I'm going to spare the rest of this row. I'm going to spare you. Do you want me to come and annoy you as well? Anyone there needs to be annoyed? We have one annoying request here? Okay. I'll just get one more here before we go to the quiz again. Not everyone is into this sort of thing. I know I'm not. I got a little runny nose here along the way here. How are you?
Good. I'm from Ames, Iowa.
Okay. Were you in her class too, possibly?
No, I came as a faculty member right before she left. But Moo helped us move in, understand the place, and I think some of the characters are still there.
Yeah. Was that giant pig actually there, though? That's the thing that amazes me.
I suspect so, but I don't know for a fact.
Yeah, it was even legendary at that time, but I think you probably would have known if you'd been there.
I don't think so.
Anything else I can annoy you about, personal life or?
No, I'm not easily annoyed. I'm a psychologist, so.
How do you feel about that? What kind are you? I know there's various genres and varieties.
I'm a social cultural psychologist.
Oh, I don't go to one of those.
No, and I don't do that kind of work. I'm not a therapist.
Okay.
Yeah. Just teaching undergraduates, okay, doing research.
Yeah.
Yep.
And how's that field? Is it burgeoning? Is it growing? Good field to go into?
It's growing. Malcolm Gladwell has made us famous, so yeah. It's a good field. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty smart guy, Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, pretty smart guy. Yeah.
Okay. And your name is?
Susan Cross.
Susan Cross, ladies and gentlemen. She's in social, psychological, whatever that is. Okay, and it's very good, by the way, at Ames there, if you're ever going to do that. Great place to be, Ames. Always loved Ames. And Iowa City is nice, too. And in fact, everything in Iowa is good. I have no qualms against Iowa whatsoever. They've always been very nice to me. Now, you go into Minnesota, sometimes you get into problems. They're so uppity. They're so uppity there. You know, I'm from Minnesota. Look, he's wearing a shirt. He says he's from Minnesota. Okay, so what? I'm from here. There's nothing on my shirt. I just take it for granted. Well, nice to have you here. Where are you from?
Minneapolis originally.
Great place, Minneapolis. Love it. Much better than St. Paul. I can change that if you're from St. Paul.
Indiana. You're laid back Indiana.
Oh, Indiana. You got to love Indiana. What's not to love about Indiana? Okay, we got to, the time zones are a little weird, but that's on this... Did they change? Didn't they? We're supposed to fix that, weren't they?
No, for golfers, it's great.
For what?
For golfers, it's great.
How, you get a tee time, same tee time in different counties?
Just about, yep. And then you get to play till 10 o'clock at night, you know. So.
Okay, that's Indiana for you in a nutshell. Now, you saw what happened that first quiz there. Now, it could happen again. You never know, or something else could happen. This is your chance to find out who amongst you. Oh, the guy from Minnesota. Okay. That's fair. I feel like I owe him. Come on, Minnesota guy. Oh, they grow them tall there in Minnesota. Look at this here. I mean, they're short in Wisconsin. And you are?
David.
David? You don't want to use the last name?
David Kohler.
Okay, that's okay. Are you with the Kohlers?
Unfortunately not.
Okay. David, and are you in school now? Or?
Just graduated in June. University of Chicago.
Oh, Chicago, okay. And so what are you going into?
I actually now work at Epic here. I just moved here.
Oh, you did? Okay. Okay, give me one good reason, David, other than Minnesota, for wanting to play the quiz.
It was my birthday yesterday.
Holy cow! Were you 62? I don't think so. Have a seat there. 60 years old? Oh, so what do they got you doing out there at Epic now, Dave?
Software testing.
Software testing?
Yep.
All their healthcare software and all
yep.
that. That's cool. And then, sorry, but I'm actually using your headphones because mine, I can't get the, I just put that around there. And I'm going to knock this water over and I'll stop things for another 10 minutes. Okay. David, so in school, you went to the University of that, so that's a pretty brainy school there.
Yeah, it's a pretty good school.
You must be pretty smart then.
We'll find out.
Yeah, what yeah, I guess. What did you major in down there?
Public policy and political science.
Public policy and political science.
Yeah.
And did you decide not to head in that direction?
Yeah, for the moment anyway. We'll see.
Yeah. You think you'll still get back into it? Maybe.
Could be. Who knows?
Yeah. So that if you were to get back into it, you know, I took poli sci my first year here in Madison. And I really liked it. I took urban politics and stuff. And I enjoyed the course very much. And at the end of it, and in my blue book, I wrote, I really enjoyed this course, but what does a political scientist do? And the professor read it on like the last day of class, and he said, and I enjoyed teaching his class, he said, but someone wrote in their yearbook, what does a political scientist do? And he said, I would have thought this class would have explained that. But all I want to know is how do you get a job then? And you know, what do you do if you're a political scientist?
Right.
Did you have that problem or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of going through a campaign is one of the most common routes, and
yeah,
I decided not to do that for now, but we'll see in the future.
Right. Well, that's interesting. And Epic, so it's software stuff, and so you have a background in that too.
A little bit. Took a little bit of computer science.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite a place. Though. I haven't actually
toured it. Yeah, it's quite a campus.
They got windmills, and they got.
Yeah, they've got some crazy buildings. They've crazy got themes buildings for all their buildings. So.
They have what?
They have themes for their buildings.
Really?
So they're, yeah.
See, we live here, but we don't actually know what goes on. It's a little crazy, you know. It's like Disneyland, but you're not allowed to go to it. So that's cool. And you like it?
Yeah.
Things going good. That's cool. And then, so anything else going on in your life? You got any settling down yet? Or?
Yeah, I just moved here in August, so
yeah,
kind of getting settled. Because settled now.
Settling down, you know, usually oh. with someone.
I don't know. Not yet.
Young people think about it, though. Okay. All right. Okay. No pressure here. You're what? You're only, what, 21?
23.
Okay. Well, then start thinking about it.
A little bit of pressure.
A little bit. It'll grow, but yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Okay. What do you do for a kick? Are you an athlete as well?
No, I'm not.
You don't run, you don't bike. You don't...
Not when I can avoid it, no.
Yeah. Good man. Okay. You know how this works? Someone out there calls in, plays along with you on the quiz. You know the quiz?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Watched the last one, so.
Okay. That's pretty much gives you some idea what can happen. And then what happens?
People at home who want to play the quiz pick up their phones and dial 1-800-942-5669, which is also 1-800-HUA-NO or 1-800-HUAC-NOW, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay. All right, here we go. The question is about the Milky Way, which rotates. I don't know if you knew that. Can you feel it? You're real quiet. You cannot feel it. That's the Milky Way that we're in. Rotating. The question is, at what speed does the Milky Way rotate? Within, what, 100,000 miles per hour?
Yeah.
Okay. If you can nail it within 100,000 miles per hour, what speed does the Milky Way rotate at? If you don't, give us a call here at the number you heard earlier. Oh, look, there's people already called up, and I bet. Chris, what is the question? If you can tell me the question, I'll give you the answer. How's that?
The question is, what speed does a Milky Way galaxy rotate at?
Oh, my God! 560,000 miles per hour!
All right, right on.
Oh, God, I set myself up for that one. Okay, so you qualify.
Yes, we do.
I thought, because people call up and they have no idea what the question is, just to try to, you know, get on the quiz and everything. Did you know that beforehand, Chris?
I had no idea.
Wow.
I was going to take a long stab in the dark.
Yeah. What would you have said if you just said, we're guessing?
I was going to say 120,000 miles an hour.
Okay, you're way low. I'm sorry. We have to let you go now. We don't know what you really thought about it. And you're in New London, Wisconsin, and what are you doing these days, Chris?
Well, right now I'm just sitting at my mom's house for the afternoon. Came back. I live in Appleton.
Oh, yeah.
But I came back to say hi to my mom.
Well, that's good. That's nice of you. Is she making dinner, or did you bring something to eat, or what's going on?
Actually, I'm watching her clean out the fridge right now, so I don't know what's going to be for dinner.
It's always exciting to go home again, isn't it? Watch your mom clean out the fridge.
Yep.
My mom, we had the old refrigerators. My mom used to put in boiling water, vats of boiling water, and all the stuff would melt, and that took about 6 hours. And then I had to leave, Mom. I'm sorry. I got to be some. And so what do you do up in Appleton, Chris? It's cool.
I actually work for, I'm 25. I've graduated quite a while ago.
Yeah.
I actually work for a company called Sunset Hill Stoneware. I'm an apprentice potter right now.
Oh, how cool.
So I make cups and bowls and stuff on the pottery wheel all day.
Wow, that's cool. And were you trained in that or apprenticed in that, or is that something you just did?
Well, I took a class in high school and kind of decided then and there that that's actually what I wanted to do.
Oh, cool.
You know, as a career. It took me a while to find a place where I could do it, but I really enjoy it. It's my passion.
Oh, that's fantastic. Glad to hear. Chris, this is David.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, David.
David took the politics route or something and never got into stoneware, I don't think. Might have gotten stone, but I'm not even going to get into that. The two of you are a team right now, so you work as a team. You collaborate, I guess is another word of saying there for that.
All right.
Yes, saying that word there for that.
Teamwork. Yeah.
Yes.
The categories.
Yes.
Are current events.
What people, are the categories?
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Chris, you're first. What would you like?
Let's go places.
Regionally. The biggest percentage of health and fitness club memberships is what we're looking at, region by regions of America. Biggest percentage of health or fitness club memberships, I know you don't belong. Is it North Central, South Atlantic, or Pacific? We're talking about regions of the country now, so we're talking about West, South, basically, Southeast, Southeast, or North Central, which would, I guess we'd be in that one. Talk it over, which has the biggest percentage of health club members?
I guess Pacific, but maybe North Central, I don't know.
I'm going to go with Pacific with you, man.
All right.
But you said, or perhaps North Central. I'm wondering what your equivocation was on that point.
Well, on all those lists, like Minneapolis is always like the healthiest city, and you know, seems like the Midwest is generally a healthy place.
There you go again, the healthiest city, yada, 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 yada. And then we get obese Wisconsin. Most obese and yet healthy, yet pretty healthy. Until we fall over at some point. Okay, so you're saying North Central?
I think we're saying Pacific, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. No?
I mean, I'll go with North Central, yeah.
All right. Apparently we're going North Central.
I mean, Chris, you're in North Central, right, Chris?
Yep, I am.
And are you healthy and you belong to a health club?
I do not belong to a health club, but I would consider myself to be healthy.
Okay, so you don't need no stinking health club.
Nah.
So that's where we are here. So, okay, what'd you say? I'm sorry. Pacific?
I guess we're going North Central. What? That's what we were doing, right?
Yeah.
North Central? Yes, North Central.
Yeah.
22%. Pacific is only 15%. Because they don't need it. They're already out there being healthy. You know, in their
I guess
everyday
that makes
life.
Sense.
So, okay, we actually need to go there and have a beer and go on the tread. So that would be...
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, thank you. And then we got what?
Current events, people, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay.
David? Let's go current events.
Current events. See any good movies lately? Yeah.
Saw Gone Girl last weekend. That's pretty good.
Well, I keep hearing about that, but I'll never go to see it because Ben Affleck is in it.
No, it's really
good,
actually.
If you've seen one Ben Affleck movie, you've seen them all. It seems to me. There's Ben Affleck in a movie, you know?
It's a little bit different than Armageddon, which, yeah. So, you know, I'm not sure that theory really holds up.
So it was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, okay. See any, Chris? I don't want to leave you out of this. See any movies?
No, not usually.
Okay, good man. All right, a new species. This is current events, is that what you said?
Yeah.
A new species was discovered and named to honor diverse families. It is the Agista diversa familia. It honors diverse families, but it actually is what kind of an animal? This new species.
Man, I don't know.
Something
I don't
discovered.
Know
you know, it could be anything from a snail to I don't know what else.
I'm going to go.
Perhaps
other,
a snail?
Other kind of animals.
I might say snail. I'm going to go with snail.
I like snail.
Yes. You're saying?
Snail?
Yes, snail. In Taiwan.
I knew it.
They're hermaphroditic, so that's the verse. And
that's two right and zero wrong.
I don't know how you're doing it, Ron.
Right.
Where are you pulling this out?
It's amazing.
They're pulling it out of somewhere. I don't know where.
The categories remaining
I think it's mine, to tell you the truth.
Are
what?
People. Things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Oh, what'd you knock over there, Chris? Or is that your mom in the refrigerator?
Yeah, that was my mom in the refrigerator.
Oh, my gosh.
She broke the door, actually.
Is she okay?
Oh, yeah, she's fine. She's fine.
Well, she sounds like she dropped
something. We just got to get her a new refrigerator.
Yeah, you should do that. You're the son, you know. You can do that. You're making big bucks.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
You're making big bucks in pottery, no? Or throw her a refrigerator. You can do that. You can work big.
I mean, maybe, but that's a lot of table work, and I don't usually do
all
that.
All right,
so.
Slab build it. Slab builder or new refrigerator. All right, Chris, what did you want? What category did you
let's
want?
Let's go things you learned if you had been paying attention.
When? Here? Oh.
Okay. In school.
This is not a good one. No. You want to pick something else? These are really bad questions. I'll be honest with you. Well, I'll give you one of these.
People, then.
You're not
go
gonna...
people.
Okay, people. All right. I'm not really happy with my school questions.
All right.
This is a people question kind of survey. Percentage of people who would pay only a buck tops for a good cup of coffee. These are the people who say, I enjoy a good cup of coffee, but I'm not paying more than a dollar for a cup of coffee. Okay. We all know percentage of people who say that is 11%, 23%, or 54%.
I'd say 23%.
Whoa, why would you say that, Chris?
Well, I don't know. I usually don't drink coffee. I actually don't imbibe much caffeine.
So then what is your thinking based on, if anything?
People are cheap. At least I am. So.
People are cheap. What do you think about this, David?
I would have said the 54%, but 23 could be right, too. I don't know.
Well, so they're really cheap in Minnesota.
I don't drink coffee either, so.
Okay, you guys don't drink
coffee. How much would you pay for a cup of coffee, Dave?
I don't like coffee, so
yeah, you wouldn't
nothing.
Pay anything.
You see, we're both in the dark.
Dad. So should we go with your instinct, like 23%? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I'm going to say 23%.
23% is exactly right. Holy cow. I'm surprised. Oh, boy, that hurts when I do that. I'm going to stop doing that. Well, what the heck, then?
They've won.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Should they stop and go away?
Well, that is up to them, but they could risk it all in the hopes of winning the mother load.
Well, what do you mean by
which
that?
Which is a wide assortment of prizes, some of which are humorous.
Okay.
I like humorous prizes. I don't know how you feel about it, Dave.
Sure, let's go for it.
Gag gifts. You can always re-gift them. You know. They're easy to re-gift. That's the thing about the What Do You Know Quiz Prize. Okay, two of you, Chris and David. This is nice of young people who are the hope for the future, winning gag prizes on a national show. Okay, so what's left there?
Science or odds and ends?
Science or odds and ends. Is it you, David, again?
Yeah, I'll go odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
So good
did you go to all the games and everything when you're in Minnesota there? School spirit, anything?
No, so I went to school in Chicago.
Oh, that's right, Chicago. Chicago probably doesn't have a football team.
We have one, but they're not very well attended, we'll say.
The UC Eggheads? Yeah.
Phoenixes, actually, I think.
Oh, the Phoenixes. They rise from the ashes on the field? That's amazing. All right, here we go. This is either, what'd you say, odds or science and ends?
I said odds and ends.
Odds and ends, okay. Talking to your car. This is when you're driving and you've got the in-car thing and you're actually talking to your car. Is it, A, depends on if it's in the privacy of your own garage. I don't know what that means. B, okay as long as it doesn't answer. Or C, even more distracting than talking to your phone. It's stupid. Answer anything. I don't know.
I'd say C, more distracting. But then again, I talk to my car... I mean, I talk to inanimate objects all the time, so I'm a bad demographic.
I'll tell you, it gets worse as you get older, man.
In that case, I think it would be good as long as it doesn't talk back.
I thank my plate for a good meal at this point in my life. It's sad, and I'm sorry to admit it, but I do. So, okay, you're saying C then? Are you more distracting than talking to your phone?
Sure.
That's right, it is. Holy cow! Is that it? These guys are too good.
David, fire that grill up one last time with a 5-pound bag of Kickapoo John's Lump Charcoal from Gay Mills, Wisconsin, using local wood with no additives, coal, chemicals, petroleum products, or binders. Yeah, you're a fan of it.
I like it.
Then add to your feast using the National Cornbread Festival winning recipes, 1997 to 2009 cookbook from South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Taking the exhibition Impressionism into Modernism, a paradigm shift in American art with passes to the Peoria Riverfront Museum. Sorry, the bus fare to Peoria is not included. And learn from an expert about marriage, paranoia, and how to get your own radio show in Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman from Terrace Books. Chris, when you want to know about Hippocrates, tsunamis, or the place of witchcraft in the early church, you'll find it all in Glad You Asked, intriguing names, facts, and ideas for the curious-minded by Michael Feldman, from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books. And then sleep like a respectable college student wearing a pair of dorm PJs from the Spirit Shop, Otterbein's Custom Clothing and Sportswear in Westerville, Ohio. Indulge in the craze for body art, but not for the rest of your life, with a dozen temporary What Do You Know tattoos. I recommend putting them on your neck. Celebrate vanishing life forms, or vanished, rather, life forms, wearing a Triceratops T-shirt from Kenosha's Dinosaur Discovery Museum. And have fun in the here and now playing What Do You Know, the party game, including contestants, cards, and the ever-contemporary Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both.
That's
Holy cow. I don't know what you won, but it sure sounds good. Thank you. Best of luck to you. Chris, hang on for a second. We'll make sure you get an address to send that out to you, but thanks for playing, and my best to your mom, too.
Yeah, you guys have a great day. Thanks for having the show.
All right, thanks. There's Chris. Okay. Well, I turned to my band here. Now, I understand you have a trilogy of songs coming out.
I do.
Is this the first in the
it's trilogy?
It's
called the Triple Trilogy.
The Triple Trilogy?
Yeah.
So there wouldn't it be nine songs then?
Yeah. I have to rethink that.
They don't have trilogies in music, do they? They have them in art. You know, they have a triptych. Panels.
Yeah, three panels.
Writing and music. Is there, well, three acts of a something or other.
Something
musical.
A musical.
Musical
three
trilogy.
Three movements, you know.
Three movements?
Yeah.
Have you had at least one today? tell us about this song.
Oh, there's not much to tell. It's with
well,
all
then
the,
tell that. Go ahead.
All the disgusting news going on.
Yeah.
This song is just called Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Aww. Okay. Let's see if it works. Yeah. I mean that. You could have been anywhere now. Probably you wish you were. Thanks for coming to the show, and thanks for listening at home there. Thanks for coming, y'all. Thanks for listening.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical Director Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests, Jane Smiley and Grace Weber. This is Stephanie Lee, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.